content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm your hometown girl, Shadate, for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Sports Illustrated for Kids online, sportsforkids.com, and kidsnews.com with the sports section. We are going to get started with some great, great stories. This one we're starting with is Uche Raul Agada star as Atukuma Brothers in Rise. As Uche Agada worked at a Wawa drive-thru in New Jersey, he saw an Instagram post from Genius Atukumpa looking for a new actor of Nigerian descent to portray him in Rise, a Disney biopic chronicling his journey to the NBA. Not wanting to miss an opportunity that could change his life, Uche submitted a tape to Disney. Maybe once when I was 16 watching YouTube videos, I thought about trying to be an actor, Uche says, but I never pursued it. Now it's a very, very fun thing to do. After several rounds of auditions, the Disney casting team booked Uche for the film, and he was on his way to trying acting for the first time. On top of Uche's basketball skills as a varsity athlete in high school and his physical resemblance to a young Guinness, he had an older brother, Raul Agada, who also played basketball. Shorter than his younger brother, Raul made the perfect Thanius Atukunpo. I had zero experience or interest in acting as Raul, but this was an amazing experience and I found what I really want to do. Despite their lack of acting experience, Uche and Raul succeeded in bringing the story of the rise of the Atukumpa family to life. The movie starts as Veronica and Charles Atukumpa cross the border to Greece, seeking a better life for their family. Avoiding deportation with no papers to prove citizenship, Veronica gives birth to Thanatos within a year of living in Greece. Three more brothers later, the Akunapu family grows to a family of six in Greece, plus an older brother, Francois, sadly left behind in Nigeria as he was too young to make the journey. Finding basketball at ages 11 and 13, respectively, Guinness struggles to play to his full potential with Thais, quickly finds success. After playing pickup games with local kids, the eldest two Atukumpa brothers begin taking the bus to and from Philanthikos Youth League team practices in Athens, Greece. Recognizing basketball as an opportunity to change both their own lives and the lives of the rest of their family, Thais and Guinness start to work constantly to improve. Guinness even spends some nights in the gym so as to not lose any time for travel. The Agada brothers seem to really understand that drive. They both grew up playing the game themselves. There were a couple of scenes for a couple of days where we were just shooting on the court, says Uche. Those were super fun because all the plays are designed to make us look good, so we're just scoring all the time. Yeah, it definitely helps when the plays are created just to make us look amazing as Raul, but there's definitely an element of still having to play the game. As the story goes, we learn, of course, that Guinness' hard work pays off. The Milwaukee Bucks take a chance on the skinny kid from Greece, and the family is able to come to America, even reuniting Francois not long after. While the biopic ends with his draft day, the family story does not end there, as Thanius and Kostas Anukumpo eventually join Guinness in the NBA, and all three are now NBA champions. These guys came from nothing, absolutely nothing, points out Uche. They lean on each other and they work very, very hard. While the Agada brothers recognize their more fortunate upbringing, both they and the Akunopo brothers have seen an opportunity to change their lives for the better and have worked hard to achieve it. For Guinness and Thais, it was dreams on the basketball court, and for Uche and Raul, It's an exciting role in a movie, jump-starting a new career for the pair. Once you see this movie and see where they came from, you see that not only did they make it, but they made history, says Uche. As Giannis continues to dominate in the NBA, and Thanias and Kostas work to move up the ranks, the Antetokounmpo story is far from finished. And as Rise creates a new chapter in the lives of Uche and Raul, the Uganda story, too, is just getting started. Next story, Herbert Hurkacz inspires the next generation at IMG Future Stars Invitational. The IMG and the Total Club in Athens, Greece are hosted the IMG Future Stars Invitational a few months ago. 48 players, 24 boys and 24 girls under the age of 12, competed for an entry into the prestigious Eddie Irr International Junior Championship. Hundreds of kids from around the world submitted application videos. What makes the IMG Future Stars tournament so unique is the additional perks the players receive throughout the week. Regardless of their results, kids are required to stay the entire week. Each day, the players, as well as their parents and coaches, hear keynote addresses from executives from the WTA, ATP, and Nike. Players also receive two coaching master classes from ATP, WTA coaches, as well as media and nutritional training from leading professionals in the field. The events culminate in an exhibition match featuring two top 15 men's players, Hubert Hurkacz and Carlos Alcaraz. Psy Kids had a chance to catch up with Hurkacz to get his thoughts on the tournament, the exhibition match, and the impact that this event has on the next generation of tennis. The interview began discussing the transition from junior tennis to the pros. Most promising junior players are unable to make the jump due to the rigorous schedule, dramatic increase in skill level, and the lack of financial resource. According to Hubert, the toughest part of his transition was taking time to adjust to the new competition and lifestyle. It can take a couple of years for a junior at 18 years old to physically grow up and transition to playing against adults. The kids at the Future Stars tournament have a leg up on that transition. Hubert highlighted the media training as a good lesson to learn sooner than later. Be confident in yourself and know which direction you want to go in an interview. The matches that aired on Tennis Channel for thousands of viewers and 2,000 spectators expected daily by the tournament that began. The beginning of the career for Herbert found playing in front of large crowds stressful, but especially now after a year without fans, Herbert enjoyed playing in packed stadiums. Hubert also insights into the importance of nutrition training as he became vegan at the beginning of his pro career. It's part of growing. When you're 10 or 11, you don't think of that stuff. But if you try to eat healthy, it becomes second nature for you, he said. Another unique aspect of the Future Stars tournament is the experience it provides to parents and coaches, as well as the players. All three are required to attend the informational sessions to best learn how to support their players on their journey to becoming professional athletes. A great tennis coach understands the emotions of a player on the court, Hubert says. Playing tennis, you are nervous at certain moments of the match, and it's important for the coach to understand that and help you get through those emotions. It's not all about technique. Finally, the side kids discuss Hubert's exhibition match with Carlos Alcaraz at the tournament. Hubert said, he's excited for a rematch after their thrilling Miami Open semifinal weeks earlier. Finally, Carlos is such a great player. What he has achieved at the age is incredible, Hubert said. I was never great as a junior or as a younger kid, but it shows if you work hard enough and do the right thing, you can get to a super high level. Overall, the main focus of the IMG Future Stars Tournament is to prepare the next generation of tennis players for their journey to be their journey to become pros. While the grand prize awarded to the boys and girls champion is extremely coveted, the real reward is the knowledge the players gain about playing at the next level. Hubert ended the interview with some final advice to all players. Everyone should focus on enjoying the week, enjoying the game, and learning the process rather than the results. And if you don't know who won, you know Carlos Alcaraz won the Miami tournament, but Hubert won the exhibition. He won the 8-game exhibition set after Alcaraz's huge win at the Barcelona opening, but he won the 8-game exhibition. So they said that both men brought a magic to Athens that they hadn't seen in a long time. The pair staged a rematch of their pulsing Miami semifinal before a packed crowd at the IMG Future Stars Invitational Tennis Tournament. And it was a very great game. They said Hukas won the 8-game exhibition set. The crowd joked that he needed to hit the ball harder while Hubert wowed the crowd with trick shots and drop shots. Following the 8-game set, Alcaraz and Hubert took partners for a quick doubles match with some of the young athletes from the IMG Future Star Tournament. Team Hubie took the victory. The inaugural tournament consisted of 48 players under 12, 24 boys and 24 girls, allowing the next generation of tennis to come together like never before and play the best from across the globe. In addition to the tournament, attendees heard from different people, and it was broadcasted on the tennis channel, and it was a great time for each one of them. And we're going to continue to talk about greatness with some great athletes that made history, that has made history in the world. First AFL-VFL membership player, Joe Johnson, Fitzroe versus Carlton, MCG, September 9th, 1904. Recruited from Victorian Football Association side Northcote, Johnson made his senior debut in Fitzroy in 1904 against Carlton. Initially playing as a half-back flanker, Johnson played in back-to-back premiership teams in 1904 and 1905. First competitor in an Olympic field event, Ben Haradine, Beijing National Stadium, August 16, 2008, from the Wodolock tribe in Victoria's Wimmera District. Haradine became the first field athlete to represent Australia at the Olympics when he competed in the discus at the 2008 Beijing Games, the first of three Olympics that he threw in. First Grand Slam winner, French Open, Yvonne Guglielmin Cowley, Roland Garros, June 16, 1971. Yvonne Guglielmin in 1971 was a shy 19-year-old from a Windsor Drury family, not someone who was expected to take the French singles championship at Roland Garros, which she did with a 6-3, 7-5 win over fellow Australian Helen Gourlay. First AFL player to be named Australian of the Year, Adam Goods, Parliament House, Canberra, January 25, 2014. One of the few AFL players in the history of the code to be genuinely capable of playing every position, the Goods story ran a lot deeper than the 372 games for the Sydney Swans, two premierships, two Brownlow medals, and four All-Australians. In 2014, he was named Australian of the Year for his stand against racism. First Boomers Olympic medalist, Patty Mills, Australia versus Slovenia, Super Arena, August 7th, 2021. Like Buddy Franklin and Cliff Lyons, Mills is responsible for more than one Indigenous first. In 2014, he became the first Indigenous NBA champion when the San Antonio Spurs won the title. 7 years later, he led Australia to bronze at the Tokyo Olympics. First Norm Smith medalist, Maurice Rioli, Richmond versus Carlton MCG, September 25th, 1982. Rioli seemed to bring the art of ballroom dancing to the hurly-burly world of Australia rules. He took the VFL by storm in his debut season of 1982 with Richmond, being named best A-field in the grand final despite his team losing to Carlton. First player to be ranked number one for over 100 weeks, Ash Barty, December 20th, 2021. Only seven players in history have held the WTA number one ranking longer than Barty, and who knows what more she would have achieved had she not shocked the tennis world by retiring at age 25. She also won three Grand Slam single titles, and we'll be coming back to her because she has a book out. First gymnastic to represent Australia, Katie Mitchell, now Sigsworth, Victoria, Canada, August 20th, 1994, took home a silver medal as part of rhythmic gymnastics team at the 1994 Commonwealth Games in Victoria, Canada. First Olympic Games weightlifter, Anthony Mason, Sydney, September 20th, 2000. After representing Australia at the World Junior Championship in 1997-1999, 21-year-old Martin competed for his country in the super heavyweight class at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. First basketball player in the NBA, Nathan Jawa. Toronto versus Detroit, Auburn Hills, January 21st, 2009. A cousin of Patty Mills, Jawa is of Torres Strait Islander descent. In 2008, he became the first Indigenous Australian to be drafted in the NBA, and a year later, the first to play when he suited up for the Toronto Raptors. First male hockey player at Olympics, Baden Tai Choppy, Australia versus South Africa, Herdon Stadium, July 21st, 1996. From Kathy Freeman's hometown of Mackay, Choppy emerged on the national scene in 1994, which led to Australia selections for the 1996 Atlanta Olympics and a bronze medal. His talent and popularity saw him named 1997 National Sportsman of the Year. First VFL-AFL player to play 400 games, Sean Bergeron, Hawthorne versus Port Adelaide Docklands, July 3rd, 2021. The man they call Silk, due to his smooth skills, became just the fifth player to reach the 400-game milestone in a career that began in 2002 with Port Adelaide and ended in 2021 with Hawthorne. Included in those games were four premierships for the proud Kokokatha Wari man, the most by Indigenous player. First Golden Boot winner, Greg Inglis, December 2009. Of Dugati heritage, GI's career glittered from the moment he began with Melbourne Storm in 2005. By 2009, at age 22, he reached the peak of his considerable powers, being named the Golden Boot as the International Rugby League World International Player of the Year. First AFL-VFL footballer to play 300 games and win Brownlow, Gavin Waganin, Port Adelaide versus Kangaroos Football Park, April 1st, 2006. His prodigious talent was identified by and seeded when he was playing in Port Adelaide's reserves. Coach Kevin Sheedy decided to play him as an attacking rebounding defender, where he became a surprise winner at age 20 of the 1993 Brownlow. 13 years later, after returning to Port, he notched 300 games. First player to score 2,000 first grade points, Jonathan Thurston, North Queensland versus Brisbane, Suncorp Stadium, March 10th, 2017. There is an argument for Thurston to be rated as the finest player in rugby league's history, given he was the first four-time winner of the Daily M and the first three-time winner of the Golden Boot. Another first came when he went past 2,000 career points in 2017. Youngest AFL player, David Werpandi, West Coast versus Carlton, Prince Park, April 27, 1996. A schoolboy prodigy having once kicked 32 goals in a game for Parkmore Primary School in Melbourne, Werpandi was just 16 years and 268 days when he made his AFL debut for the Eagles in 1996. First test player, Lionel Morgan, Australia versus France, Brisbane, July 2, 1960. A flying winger for Wenham Mailing in the Brisbane League, Morgan became the first Indigenous man to play a rugby league test when selected for the second and third matches on the 1960 French tour. Morgan's debut was a dream won with two tries. In 2008, he was selected on a wing in the Indigenous team of the century. First Sandover medal winner, Graham Polly Farmer, WAFL, September 23, 1956. From the moment he began with Eastbirth, the Noongar man was an Aussie Rules ruckening sensation, and it was only natural that the individual awards follow. In 1956, at age 21, Polly won his first Sandover as the best player in the Western Australia Football League and followed it up in 1957 and 1960. First player to score 100 first grade tries, John Ferguson, Canberra and Newcastle Bruce Stadium, June 30 of 1990. Named on a wing in the Rugby League Indigenous Team of the Century, Chica Ferguson was a star from when he started with Newtown Jets in 1980, scoring 40 tries from 74 games before adding another 16 with Eastern Suburbs between 1984 and 1985. He then helped the Raiders to premiership in 1989-1990, where he reached the 100-try milestone. First AFL player to kick 1,000 goals, Lance Franklin, Sydney versus Geelong, SCG, March 25th, 2022. 17 years after he started with Hawthorn, Buddy was still dominating headlines, this time at the Swans. It came in round two at his beloved SCG when he booted four straight against Geelong, leading to a ground evasion that lasted for 35 minutes. First captain in a major sport, Arthur Beetson. Australia versus France, Stade des Minas, December 16, 1973. Where do you start with the much-loved rugby league immortal Artie, who became the first Indigenous Australian to captain his or her country in a major sport? A year later, with Eastern Suburbs, he was the first Indigenous first grade membership captain before adding first as a coach with Eastern Suburbs in 1977 and state coach for Queensland in 1981. First Matilda to play in World Cup final game, Bridget Starr, September 1994 versus Japan. First selected as a teenager in 1994, Starr lived up to her name by playing 53 times for the Matildas, including the World Cup in 1999 and 2000 Olympics. And I said before, in that history of some of the people that's breaking history, we talked about Ash Barty. Well, we have some more information about her. Ash Barty speaks exclusively to Kids News about her Little Ash books. Retired tennis champ Ash Barty has swapped her racket for a pen to write a series of books that she hopes will help kids discover a lifelong love of reading. Barty sat down exclusively with Kids News Cub reporter Lionel Malini 7 for an interview about her Little Ash children's book, which hit the bookshop shelves on Wednesday, July 6th. The former tennis star told Lionel she was inspired to write the four books by her six-year-old niece, Lucy. Seeing her grow up kind of made me remember what I was doing as a kid, Barty said. She said she used real-life stories from her own childhood with a bit of a twist. These books are all inspired by stories and experiences that I had when I was a kid. They're not all 100% factual, but they're a little bit of fun, and I hope that everyone reading them gets a little bit of a laugh and can enjoy some of my experiences that I got to do with my sisters and my best friend, James, she said. Barty said the best part about writing the books with author Jasmine Magagi and illustrator Jade Goodwin was recalling the fun times of her childhood. I've loved being able to have fun with the storytelling and to be able to remember some really funny jokes and some really funny things we used to do when I was a kid, she said. It brought so many people together. It made me laugh with my best friend again, made me laugh with my sisters, with my parents. It brought so many people joy. Barty says she loved reading and was able to work with some really cool people to bring them the stories. She said before, she loved reading as a kid and still loved picking up a book today. I still read a lot, and when I travel for tennis, my books were sometimes my best friends, she revealed. I could get really engrossed and really enjoy stories. I just love getting involved in a story. And the book and author that had the biggest impact on her as a kid? Morris Glissman, for me. Yeah, he wrote a bunch of different books, some funny ones, some a little bit more serious ones. But there was this one series that I loved the most, she said. It was brilliant, and it definitely got me into reading a lot. And now I get to write my own stories, my own series. That's pretty cool. The Little Ash Books by Ash Barty with Jasmine Magagi and Jade Goodwin are published by HarperCollins and are on sale now. The Little Ash Books by Ash Barty. As Barty said, she wanted to inspire kids to chase their dreams. These other great women wanted to do the same. They have some great things by breaking barriers and imagining a world free of bias, stereotypes, and discrimination. And some of those women, like Ash Barty, have done some great things. One is Emma McKeon. Emma McKeon has 11 Olympic medals, more than any other Australian. Her 7 medals in Tokyo equal the most by any female in any sport at a single Olympic game. McKeon, 27, has won more than 40 international medals and set several world records. Born in Wollongong amid a family of champion swimmers, she made her senior international debut at the 2014 Commonwealth Games. She won 4 medals at the 2016 Rio Olympics and 7, including 4 gold at the 2020 Tokyo Games that were held last year at the COVID postponement. In 2022, McKeon was made a member of the Order of Australia, AM, and was Wollongong City Council's Citizen of the Year. But she insists she feels no different as an Olympic champion. Nothing's changed, she said. I'm still the same person, and I'm not better than anyone else. I just happen to be able to swim fast. Unfortunately, our time has ended for another edition. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm your hometown girl, Shadate, for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program, again, is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you want to listen to this podcast again, you can go to our website at ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Until next time, see you next time on the radio.